Working as a park ranger, there was lots of crazy things that I've seen out in the woods on my own. I'll go through a few for you today. I remember one time one of my colleagues radioed in saying that he was sure he saw a meteorite or a white UFO crash in the distance one night. I said, "Okay, I don't know what you've taken, but I'm gonna go and investigate," half joking with him. As I set out in my truck, I realized that there was some kind of emergency beacon, and my God, he wasn't wrong. There was a fire trail in the woods that luckily hadn't spread, and half expecting to find something from out of this world, I was very surprised to find a plane that had crashed. By the grace of God, everybody lived from the accident and was fine, but it was crazy to see. Honestly, it was like something out of a movie. Now, that was my first story. The next one is a complete different thing. It was when I was on vacation in a desert with some of my cousins. Now, we were going on this long hike and it was close to nightfall. Now, my youngest cousin kept on sprinting off and it didn't bother us because a few of us were actually rangers or had military experience, so we felt relatively safe. Now, my cousin twisted his ankle and we're all quite annoyed because we know how dangerous this is. If it's a fracture or break, it's going to take a while before we can get back to help. Now, I rush over to go and help him, and I also fall down too. I fall down onto rocks and land on some kind of scrub or destroyed wood. I don't really know how to describe it, but almost like a big bit of wood that's been there for years that was once a tree. Now, this thing snaps, and my other cousin grabs my arm and says, "Jesus Christ." I say, "Yeah, I know it's slippery here." He says, "No, look." He then shines his torch off to the left, and I can see literally hundreds of cactuses below. It was a good 20 feet drop down off of these rocks, too. If I'd fallen into them, well, I don't even want to think about what could have happened. More than anything, I was just glad that my youngest cousin hadn't gone and got hurt, because God, I wouldn't be able to forgive myself if that happened. Now, for my next story, this is more just creepy than anything. I wouldn't necessarily say it was a paranormal experience, but just something really odd. Now, while I was working as a ranger, one particular evening I got a call out to go and investigate a potential illegal fire, and I thought, yeah, that's fine. I wasn't too worried about it. To be honest, normally the fires in the area that I was working in didn't spread very quickly, so you didn't have to worry much. It wasn't like there was going to be huge wildfires, and the firefighting service were extremely good where I was based. I radio in and say I'm only about 10 minutes away, I'll go check it out. Now, I remembered going to investigate this area, and when I got there, I can't see anything. There is, however, a strange light just above the tree line. I think this is really odd. It's not like a plane or helicopter, more like a drone, but this was actually in the times before we had drones, so I think this is a bit odd. It eventually flies off really quickly, and I think maybe the military are doing something here. Eventually, I make it back to the station and radio in what happened. Someone else answers saying, "Thank God. We haven't heard anything back from you for hours. What happened? We're really worried about you and we're starting to investigate." I, confused, say, "No, I was only out for probably 20 minutes. What are you talking about?" I then look over to the clock and I realize that I've been out for a good 5 hours. Even to this day, I still can't explain the experience, and it kind of gives me chills in a way. Now, for my last experience, it's kind of a weird one, but I want to know what you guys think about it. So this story actually comes from a friend of mine and not me directly. He said that he was out on a hike one day when he becomes completely lost. Now, he was lost to the point that he thought he wasn't going to make it back, and he didn't have any communication equipment at the time. He had basic survival training, so was actually okay, but he really thought he wasn't going to make it. Now, one morning when he was trying to figure out what to do or praying for signs of rescue, he sees a yellow dog up ahead of him. He's convinced that he's hallucinating, but He goes over to see what it's doing. It's playing with something in its mouth and he quickly grabs it off, realizing that it's his shoe. He puts it on again and says, "Hey buddy, what are you doing here?" With the dog beginning to walk off. He decides to follow it. The dog keeps looking back and pointing almost in the direction to go. He says he's accompanied by the dog for at least 2 hours until eventually it runs off down an area that he can't actually see into. Worried about losing his friend, he sprints off after it and he's met by a group of other people. It's a search and rescue team. One of them runs over giving him water saying, "How are you?" He says, "Great, your dog must have saved my life." He looks at him a bit weirdly then at his buddy and says, "You need some water, bad." And eventually he gets taken off to a hospital. He eventually recovers and is completely fine. He goes to ask some of the rescue team what happened to the dog. Was it a wild one? And they say, "There was no dog there. We didn't know what you were talking about. We thought maybe it was a stray one and you got bitten or something and were going crazy, so we had a look round, but there was definitely no dogs." Now what makes this even more weird is the fact that my friend still has that shoe to this day, with clear bite marks from a dog that couldn't be made by a person. Now I'm very lucky where I live. There's a beautiful forest and river that's not too far away. The river starts near the houses and the people, but if you follow it down long enough, you can eventually get over to a really nice secluded area of woodland. Now, I was previously a forest ranger, so as you can imagine, I always like to be out in nature and exploring generally. Now, for a while I didn't actually go out much. I still wanted to explore and whatnot, but I couldn't be bothered where it was extremely cold, so I waited until it became around April, May time, and I once again started following the river. The river had some birds and things on it, and some other big fish that you would very occasionally see in the river. I never bothered to fish any of these because I couldn't be bothered to, but I thought it was a really nice touch. Often I would find myself putting in my headphones, listening to some kind of book or just relaxing music and having a stroll down. I don't know, sometimes you can feel like the world's getting on top of you for no reason, and it's important to just get outside to relax. So in one particular morning I was doing just this. Now I know what you're thinking, surely if anything scary was going to happen it would be at night, not in the very early hours of the morning, but wait, I'll get to that part. So I set off like normal. I decide to stay far from the river because the rocks actually really hurt my feet sometimes and I have an issue with them. I say hello to one of my friends as I'm walking and I can see that he's just sitting by the rocks having a good time relaxing. People are good, but at this moment I need to get away just to clear my head up. It's still pretty warm at this time, though the weather's been very bipolar. I continue down until eventually I'm just out of sight of the other people. Now the area that I live in doesn't really have many people to begin with, so you don't have to go very far to be truly secluded or in what feels like the middle of nowhere, and often is. Now when I'm walking, I see a very large thing flying out of the corner of my eye. I just catch it before it goes off into the tree line, and I realize there's a very large bird there. It's strange because it looks all black and its beak looks very big. I think this is pretty strange because I've not really seen these before. It's hard to describe, but it's like a larger than life crow. I think this is odd and I continue onwards. I turn off my music for a while because I want to save my headphones and phone battery. I continue going and the forest gets a little bit darker, just because there's not much tree coverage. You have to be careful while you keep following this river though, because of course, the further you go in, the harder it is to get out, and I don't really want to be stuck out here alone. Now every so often, I hear this god-awful noise coming from the bird. I can't describe it other than just saying it's a horrifying sound. It's almost like a screech that sounds like it's human, but it's not quiet. I haven't heard anything like it since too, which is pretty odd. I assume that it's got to be another animal that this bird has just gone and annoyed, because surely this isn't making that much sound. I really wish I could describe it to you, but I can't. It's almost like a piercing sound, like metal being scraped, but more biological sound in. It really throws me off when I'm walking, because it makes me jump and my eyes actually go blurry for a second from the adrenaline and the panic of it. I decide I should just keep on now. Now, one really strange thing about this is that the bird seems to be following me. Now, I might be paranoid, but I decided to pick up a rock just in case I needed to scare this thing off. I mean, hey, it was ruining my lovely day for me. But eventually, along with my new friend, the rock in my pocket, I forget about the bird and continue on my way. As I continue walking, I can see some strange markings on some of the trees. I think the children, or not really children, I guess teenagers or rebels, whatever you want to call them, have gone and put some weird red spray paint onto some of the trees. They're kind of like weird cross symbols, but not exactly. I know this hasn't been marked out by authorities because I know what that looks like from my previous experience of being a ranger. I make a mental note to maybe report this to the authorities so they can stop these stupid kids destroying the beautiful nature. God, I really hate things like that. I love nothing more than untouched nature. I hate when people don't realise the damage they're doing, and that if they do this over time, it's not going to look good. Plus, it's probably not very healthy for the trees, but I digress. I continue on to my walk until it's about midday. The sun's still nice and high in the sky, and I'm just sitting down to relax for a bit. I decide that I can't really be bothered to walk much further because my feet have started hurting from walking on the rocks close to the stream, and I want to get back to eat. I'm starting to get hungry. I have two small protein bars, but they aren't really doing it for some reason. As I'm sitting down, I realise that the hair on the back of my neck has stood up suddenly. I think maybe mosquitoes landed on me, and I actually slapped the back of my neck to try and kill it if there is. Nothing, I just slapped myself for no reason. I think that's a little odd. I suddenly noticed some movement again in the distance. Now, I can't make out exactly what it is, but whatever this is on the ground now, and I know for a fact it's not that bird. I think maybe there's some animal around. I'm not really in an area that has big bears or animals like that that I have to be scared of, but you never know. If one of these things is hungry and injured or thinks I'm trying to get to its babies, I don't really want to be standing in its way. I decide I should pick up the pace and go a little further. It's starting to get cold too, which is annoying because I've only got my light jumper and shirt on. I originally had the jumper tied around my waist, but quickly put it on. Now, as I continue on, I can't shake the feeling that something is just off. I was kind of triggered by the symbols, and that starts to race through my mind again. As I continue on, I stop suddenly and realize something looks off. I look off to the left, and I'm sure I can see somebody standing by a fire moving round. I look to the right just to make sure there's no other ones, and to my left again, and the person vanishes, but where they were standing is exactly the same. It looks a little odd because there's lots of foot tracks around, and they look recent. I decide I should be very cautious now, and slow down for a minute, stop, breathe, and just observe. I definitely can't hear anything, and I decide that it's just my mind playing tricks on me. Now, I know what you're thinking, oh, you're a ranger, this shouldn't happen, but trust me, if you're in a job that's that isolated, you actually get used to the fact that sometimes your mind's gonna fill in the gaps. It's not necessarily from you being bored, but more your brain. There's a thing where your brain tries to create images that aren't actually there, and I don't know, I'm not a scientist, but look it up and you'll know what I mean. So, I hesitantly make my way over there. As I get there, I realize that the ground seems to have been burned recently by a fire. It's almost like a bunch of people have been dancing around here, but I can't figure out exactly why this is. I look around and there should be people here. The fire's only gone out recently, but there's no one. And then, just to my left, I see movements out the corner of my eye again. I'm not sure why, it always seems to be on my left side no matter where I move to. I actually rub my eye to make sure that nothing's in it. And then, someone... I think, what's he doing out here? Why did he make a fire here? I say, hey, in my friend's name, what are you doing? And then there's just laughter. Now, the strange thing is, the laughter doesn't seem like my friend, if that makes sense. It's still my friend's voice, but it's not welcoming. I say, hey, where are you? What are you doing? Now I realize something is off. I look around and I cannot see my friend anywhere, but I keep hearing my name being called out. I say, yeah, this is really funny, but what are you doing? I look around and again, I can't see anything. I say, hey, that's really funny, but I'm gonna go now. The voice then says, no, you're not, followed by more laughing. Now I'm not afraid to use it. I turn around to leave and the large bird is there, just staring dead at me, almost like it's been waiting. I actually dropped the rock in fear. I didn't realize it at the time because of the adrenaline. It sounded almost like the laughter sounds were coming just from this bird. I pick up the rock again and start clapping, trying to make sounds for it to move, but it doesn't. It's something that I've never seen before. It's literally like a crow, but maybe 3 times as big or 4 times as big as a normal crow. And it doesn't seem to have eyes. I can't really tell because I didn't have my glasses on at the time, but it does not have eyes. I'm almost convinced of this. And I get a really weird feeling wash over me. I hear something behind me. I glance over my shoulder and glance back, and the bird's gone. That's about all I needed for my brain to tell me, it's time you get out of here. So, I decide to start out with a more medium pace. I don't want to burn myself out, and my trainers told me that it's much better that you hike and you don't get injured than if you just sprint out of here. But this feels more urgent now. Now, I'm a relatively big guy, I guess. Or maybe medium, I don't know. But I know if I really launch a rock, I can probably hurt something. So I have my rock in my hand, ready to just attack. Now, I decide something's definitely off, and I know it's not my buddy playing tricks on me. We used to mess around with each other in the ranger station some days, but never like this. I mean, this is ridiculous, even for me. But if this was them playing tricks on me, I'd probably respect it and actually find it really funny, but I decide I have to get on. I think what's weirdest is that the bird's followed me so far. I'm not sure whether it's very injured and it wants to eat me when I'm dead like vultures do, but this isn't a vulture. I decide that I should probably get out of here as quick as possible, and great for me, the easiest way to get back is following the river. I've not really been this far into the forest too, so I decide that I can't really afford to get lost here, and it'll probably get quite cold at night and I'd struggle if I couldn't make a fire. I didn't have a lighter on me at the time, so I know this isn't really an option. Again, with my training, I can actually make a fire, but I'm not gonna. So I continue going. I continue a mild pace for about 5 minutes before I have to stop because the rocks are really hurting my feet again. I stop for a few minutes and start laughing to myself, thinking, what was wrong with me? And there's a loud splash just to my left again. Why does this keep coming from my left, I say as I slap myself on the side of the head, just enough to try and wake myself up. And there's a large splash of water that just hits me. A large rock has just been thrown into the water next to me, and there's that stupid crow. I throw a rock as hard as I can, and it just flies out of the way. What the hell is this thing, I think to myself. Why is it following me? I now break some of my own rules and panic a bit and start sprinting. This is accompanied by laughter of my friend's voice again. Now, you can imagine I went into high gear now. Through the grace of God, I actually didn't hurt myself on the rocks or fall. Well, not for a few minutes at least. I eventually tripped and hurt my leg, and I started laughing to myself as I got up again, saying, "This is such a me thing to do," and I continue going. The laughter becomes ever more faint as I continue on, trying desperately to get back. I sprint for a long time, and luckily I'm fairly athletic, so I manage to make it out of the secluded area into a more medium part, if that makes sense, where you're not too far from civilization. I turn around again and realize that I can no longer hear the laughing, and I don't think the crow thing's following me anymore. After a bit longer, I realize that I'm up to relative safety now, and I'm not far from where my friend is. I'm very, very relieved to realize that. When he sees me, he says, "Hey, what's wrong?" I say, "Yeah, I just had a bad fall, I'm fine," and continue on. I made it home, and of course the first thing I did was call my friend, saying, "Hey, what are you doing right now?" He says, "Oh, I'm just at home with my wife and kids. We've been home all day. I don't need to hear anything else," and say, "Oh great," make up some excuse and end the call. That was confirmation in my mind that this is one messed up situation that I still don't have an explanation for to this day. I don't know what that bird thing was doing, or who that person was out there, but I'm glad I never had to find out. I would hate to say it was anything paranormal, but my mind instantly goes to some of the old folklores about creatures out in the woods that can imitate yourself or others. I don't want to say it was that, but I kind of hope it was, because if it wasn't the case, it was probably people with speakers trying to capture or kidnap me. But I just don't think that seems likely with where I live and everything. I don't know, it was a pretty awful experience that I'm trying my best to forget about. And yes, I haven't been back to that area since. Even if I do my own solo hikes now, I don't ever have my headphones in. I'm always listening, expecting to hear that crow or my friend's laughter again. I was hiking with my dad in late September on the west coast of Vancouver Island, which is usually when bears are flanting up for the hibernation and most likely to be aggressive, and since we're a couple of days walk from either the trailhead, we're on high alert. This is where we can only get medical attention, so we're far from safety. It had rained constantly and we only had seen a single other hiker the whole time. He was travelling the opposite direction, and we had camped besides him two nights prior, so for the whole trip, the only tracks that we saw looked remotely fresh, and were a single set of boots hiking coming towards us. It was a pleasant and solitary German tourist, and we had only seen them in places with extensive overhead cover. The other tracks were washed out and filled with rainwater due to the days and days of constant rain, and it was really making it hard to figure out where to go at times. We were approaching a blackberry patch between ridges and hugged a small creek and smelled what we thought was a particular stinky bear. And since the blackberries were on both sides of the trail, with it only being about 3 meters between them, we have our heads on a shrivel. There was no overhanging trees at this particular berry patch, and there were dozens of meters across, and they're probably 2 meters high. My dad told me to hurry through as quick as we can and made a comment about how smart it was that we have the bear bells on us and how dangerous it is to startle a feeding bear. He was a couple of meters ahead of me when I looked down and see a footprint. Now, it looked like an unshoed human footprint, except it's probably 2 inches wider and at least 2 inches longer than mine, and I have size 14 feet. There's also dermal ridges and only a couple of inches or so of raindrops, so it's been there recently. I mean, the scariest thing about it was that there was no other prints whatsoever, so it just appeared suddenly almost. It was so startled, probably, but so was I. I look around as much as I could before my dad lovingly told me, "Hurry up," and that was the only track that There wasn't now a small Podwin. So, before you discount it as double-stepping bear prints, where a bear's gone back before, there's no way it could have crossed that 3 meter distance without leaving more prints. Say what you want about black bears. They're not peaceful or graceful. There are also no grizzly bears here too, and there's no cougar that could have done this. It was also not a hoax too, because we would have definitely seen a person there, and to be interacting with the bears was dangerous to say the least. Now it's pretty weird though. We eventually managed to make it out of there without too much happening, but I don't really believe in Sasquatches, but I don't know what to believe. The more my dad explained it to me, it couldn't have really been a bear, so I don't really know what to think. And on top of that, the smell there was one of the worst things I've ever smelled in my life. I will never forget the image of the raindrops hitting the fresh tracks as I stared in disbelief. I grew up in a small town in Western Massachusetts. It was a sleepy little community, and not much happened in the way of excitement, but this weekend, we were going camping. It was a Memorial Day weekend, and it just turned 11. When we got to the campground and got set up, we were mainly by ourselves, and we only saw a few other families along the trail on the way to our campsite, and it was really peaceful. And after a long day of setting up and getting situated, I'm ready to crash out on my tent. Help me, help, oh God, I hear. I woke up like an alarm had gone off, and I can hear this woman screaming at the top of her lungs. She came running into our campsite and was in absolute hysterics with fear. My parents approached her to ask if she was hurt and offered her help. She pushed past and kept running, all the while screaming. We followed her to the ranger station, as did a few other people from nearby campsites. She woke up the entire campground with her screaming. I remember the police showing up and all the flashing blue and red lights. Two officers were standing around her as the paramedics wrapped her in blankets. She kept saying the same thing over and over again. It's a werewolf, it has to be. The paramedics load her up in the ambulance and it drives away. A few more cops appear and begin searching through the woods. My dad said go back into the tent and sleep. I don't know what happened after that. Sometimes I still talk about the night that it happened with my parents. We all remembered it, and it still gives us goosebumps. I don't know what the girls saw in the woods that night. I don't know if it's still out there. So this story takes place in southeast Texas, within 100 miles of Houston. I was in college but had moved back in with my parents for a semester after some roommate drama. My parents live out in the country, miles outside of town with some acreage. The land in the back of the house consists of four zones really. You got to the backyard with the nice St. Augustine. The backpack, which is a section of woods my parents cleared of underbrush and kept a fairly well maintained area. The backpack, which is a clearing that we used to go back to and do bonfires and parties in high school, and then the woods. After high school, my parents kind of gave up on keeping back the brush and weeds and anything except for their nice section of backyard. So imagine a big backyard fenced by a wall of tall weeds and large trees that goes back for a while, then a giant field of weeds, transitioning into soil and dense woods and some oak and pine wood. I also had this dog that my parents let me keep outside. They had a big chain link dog who lived in there since my parents had no permitting fencing besides some barbed wire at the very back of the property, and this dog wasn't really the kind to stay in one area. It was a fact that she was so aggressive to other dogs, always going after them and acting tough. I sometimes worried she'd go out and get some of the chickens. She was about 60 pounds too. Now, since I was in college, I had no curfew or anything and would always come home late at night / early morning after hanging out with friends or studying or whatnot. On this particular night, it was pretty cold out. Even though she still had a house and bed and straw out there, I felt bad for my dog, so decided to bring her in to sleep in the garage. I should mention, Now, I probably should have been more careful because this happens quite a lot, but somehow this dog always got me. She would wait in the back until the gate was unlocked and I was in the run, the gate closed with the unlocked horse latch. Run around me and pop the gate latch with her nose and bolt off, so of course she did it. And I was standing there in the cold in the middle of the night, annoyed because I knew I had to find her and return her. The moon was pretty bright and I had seen her flying into the weed wall and disappear, so I followed her into the night, calling her name. There were some little trails through the weeds and we tried to keep open so that we can access a property, but they were less wide than a person can walk through and the weeds are taller than my head. It was dense. Anyway, I'd gone a ways and we had passed through the wooded section out into the clearing, and I get quiet, trying to listen to where she's gone, and I hear intermittent rustling out in the woods, which at this point I've got to point out is a really dark outline of the tree line and weed jungle. The rustling wasn't the sound I expected, since she usually crashes through the woods. In my head, I'm thinking, what the hell is she doing now? Honestly, I thought she's probably rolling around in some dead skunk, and I was going to have to bathe her. Figuring it was my wild dog making the noise, I call out her name again. As I got closer, it becomes apparent the rustling is not the sound of an animal charging through the underbrush, but more like something intentionally shaking the trees. Like if you grab a branch and shake it, and all of the connected trees and vines shake too. It was close enough now to make our individual branches silhouetted at the top of the tree line, and I could see that whatever was going on was causing the trees to shake all the way to the top. This was off, and decidedly not my dog pacing around. I'm quiet and freeze. I hear in all these stories people talking about how they notice something and the woods go silent. I can't remember this happening really, but as I stood there, I clearly hear two or three loud deep huffs. I guess it kind of sounded like a ball with a deeper fluctuating, kind of fluttering sound. And it seems to be coming from around my head height. For some reason, my mind kept registering that this thing was a lot closer to me than the tree line. I remember the distinct feeling that the noise is directed towards me, and I get a feeling in my gut like my whole body is stuck. Now, rational or not, I yell my dog's name, and with all my fear and urgency, I turn and ran as hard as I can. Either my dog heard my tone and got scared, or she was scared of whatever was in the tree line, because as soon as I crash through the weed, she comes off on my left like a bullet. When I got to the open garage, she was trying to get in, desperately jumping. I closed the garage and put her in the kennel and went to bed. I don't know what it was, and at the time I convinced myself it was one of those hog zealers that you hear about on the news. I've been around plenty of cattle and have never heard one make a noise like that. Not saying it could have been something dodgy, but it just doesn't seem right. This was like 10 years ago, so I'll never know for sure, but I'm trying to think real hard of what it could have been in terms of a logical explanation. My uncle has a large area of wooded property in Missouri. It's about a 1.5 hour drive from St. Louis. He has a cabin there, a small man-made lake, and trails throughout the woods. When we visited, we would spend a lot of time driving ATVs down the trails. One of the trails leads to an abandoned mining area. The area has a toppled over mine shaft, a couple of cement buildings, and a sheet metal storage shed for core samples, and the sheet metal building with showers has a couple of rooms. There's a metal fence separating the two sections of it, which are mostly intact. A lot of the area hasn't been used for mining for lots of decades, probably even a century. All of this lies in a large open area that has no trees and just sand and mud flats, which made it a perfect place to drive four-wheelers. We'd visit a few times each year and take out the four-wheelers out to the flats and have a great time riding. We never felt unsafe, and sometimes we would even go out to night to stargaze. Eventually, we begin to realize that there's these sights popping up at the edge of the woods around the flats, like sticks stuck in the ground, in lines or weird circle patterns, almost like burn piles. And there was eventually shotgun shells, bullet cases, and beers around sometimes. We'd even see weird symbols on the floor. It was made out of trash or spray painted. Basically, it looked like people were shooting targets and drinking out on the flats with a touch of weirdness with the symbols. I didn't really think much of it, and we just decided that we wouldn't go out at night and started carrying guns around with us when we go out. What finally did it for me and kept me from going back out there is when we discovered that the fence has been nearly completely destroyed. Only the posts are left, and on every post there's some can or jar of something on top. And throughout the flats on the trails, it's rampant with these weird things everywhere. Kind of like containers stuck onto the end of branches and whatnot. Again, it wasn't too weird. Like, we know people like to go out on break and stuff and just do stupid things. But what got us was the scope of it. The fence was probably half a mile in length and every section of metal mesh had been removed, which would have been considerable because it would take a long time to do it and you'd actually need bolt cutters. And that alone wouldn't be too weird, but the thing is, none of the metal was gone. That was probably the most valuable thing. I would understand if they took the metal, but why would they just leave it there perfectly intact? Now, the last time that I was actually brave enough to go out there was 10 years ago. I've now moved states and have limited contact with that part of the family, so I don't know if anything else has happened. So it's nothing paranormal, just really weird. My husband and I always love to go camping. We live in CA and set aside 2 weeks every summer for a camping trip where we can get away and disconnect from the real world. Normally, we hit Death Valley for some backcountry adventures for a few days, then heading off into the mountains for some fishing. On the way back home, we usually stop for one last hurrah in Eastern Sierra. On this particular trip, my husband, myself, and our German Shepherd, Ginger, are going. We ended up finding a lake to swim in for the day, and when we got tired, decided to find a spot to camp. We were both pretty familiar with that area, and knew that there was a free campground about 12 miles up the mountain. I never liked the Pacific campground because it was very cold at night at that elevation, even in the summer, but whatever. It was free and we had plenty of firewood. We pulled into the campground and there was only one tent pitched, but we didn't see any people at all. In fact, the whole evening, there was not a single other person in sight. I loved it. It's really nice when it's empty, and it feels primitive and nice and remote. So it was rare even to see a car driving past. After we got set up, the beer was flowing very freely. We were pretty trashed and hung out for a bit, cooked dinner over a campfire and hit the sack. My dog husband and I were all asleep and awoken by an ungodly scream in the middle of night. One of us grabbed the phone to see what time it was and then my husband gets his gun, told me to stay there and went out to see what was going on. Of course I want to peek out and there was one guy standing right in front of the other tent that was set up across the stream looking at the sky and just screaming. It was a horrific scream. Loud and terrifying, normally just like something that would prompt a phone call to the police, but due to the area's remoteness, the cell signal is non-existent. My husband didn't want to go over there for obvious reasons, so he came back to the tent, and I don't think any of us slept a wink the rest of the night. The next morning we packed up and left as soon as we could. That same tent was still there, but again, no one in sight. We actually drove past there a couple of days later, out of curiosity, and the tent was still pitched in the same spot. There were no other campers there. This is about 10 years ago, and when we visited the area frequently. This was about 10 years ago, and we still visit the area frequently. since we now have a cabin about 20 miles from the campground. When we take a drive up the mountain and pass that campground, the scream is always the first thing we think about and wonder what was happening. I'm going to try and keep things clean and concise and to the point, so I'm going to start with the creepy but natural. I've been a hunter since I was like 13, maybe earlier, so I don't really remember, but being out in the woods since I was young means that I get to see or hear things that I can normally ensure that I wouldn't see in the cities. I've had a few different instances where I've been thoroughly creeped out in the woods, and I'll get to them, but I want to start with a not as bad one. So the guy who owns the land that we hunt on decided it was going to be a good idea to store some of the equipment on his land, one of which is a styrofoam float. Now, one year we got out there to check it out and pick it up, and that big piece of styrofoam had met its demise to a bear. Now, you could tell that the bear really had a go at this thing because it was torn to shreds. Now, it almost looks like a bomb had gone off next to it. It makes you kind of worried about what bears are actually capable of. But anyway, now to the first real story. I was stalked by a cougar a few years back. When we had a deeper opener, I liked walking through the roads occasionally, and one of the first things I noticed this year is that I could have taken a picture of a set of tracks, I mean really big tracks. I wish I did. The cat was obviously stalking over other animals in the area, but me being me, I decided that I shouldn't be scared of that, and it's probably more scared of me, but sure enough I jinxed myself. I attempt to do a deer push through some of the real thick brush to try and jump up and scare a deer and get it to move through towards the other hunters in my party. I'm going to get to that soon, and I'm moving through the woods, yet I can hear something moving behind me. Every time I would stop, the noise would stop. I eventually got nerved, especially with the forest being quiet, and I decide that I'm going to get attacked by something that's found me. It's probably better if I'm facing it. So I turn around and walk straight back the way I came from and raise my weapon. When I began retreating back to where I come from, directly towards whatever it was making the sounds, I see a tan flash of fur and a long tail low to the ground turn around and run away from me. Then, the next day as I was doing a walk up to the main road with my rifle, I'm close to the tree line when I hear a deep growl immediately to my right. I turned my rifle to see the face of the cougar at my stomach level because it was raised up on the ground and towards the dirt. I calmly backed away and walked up towards the road that I came from. Now for wolves. One of my favorite ones, and it's quite a simple one. A few years back, my dad shot a deer and we gutted it. If anyone here is familiar with the field dressing of an animal, you typically gut the pile just out in the woods. This was like that this year, and we found out that there's a wolf pack that had actually moved onto the property. So, my dad leaves a gut pile a couple of hundred yards away from the stand. The day after, I was sitting in my dad's stand while he was doing a big loop on the property trying to scare deer towards me. And he was getting close to me, which I didn't know at the time. I was sitting in the stand and I heard a kind of wolf yelp from the gut pile. I texted my dad and told him he better hurry up because there's a wolf pack between us. Sure enough, by the time he made it back to me, he also heard the same thing, and it was within less than 100 yards away now. This year, just in November, I actually took pictures of old tracks very close to the trail and next to my size 13 boot, and the tracks are huge. I know there's one set of four that are walking together. I took a picture of the biggest tracks and I found out the wolf's probably 200 pounds or more, so it's definitely something you don't want to encounter out there. Now, for the one that sticks with me, this is the one that I want you guys to hear. Somewhere around 2006 or 7 when I was 18, I was at my grandpa's cabin and with my grandparents and my cousin. This was the last summer in northern Wisconsin, Danbury to be specific. The incident happened in midday when the sun was high in the sky and it was pretty warm out. My cousins and I decided that we would play some airsoft, and I was wearing camouflage and decided that I would have a better chance of not being seen this way and being able to ambush him by going into the woods, which was about an acre attached to where the cabins were off to, though it was really an acre that my grandparents owned. Now, there were trails cut through and a big entrance which splits into a Y and loops around. This was used as a short ATV trail. Now, while we're battling with the airsoft guns, we continue all the way up into the trail about halfway. We were still both winded and at the top of the hill next to a clearing in the woods when I decided to mess with my cousin and shush him and say we're being watched. Now, mind you, I intended this as a joke, but we both got quiet. I realized the woods were dead quiet, like you could hear a pin drop. I could only hear my own breathing and immediately feel like we're being watched, so I look in the directions all around us and try and figure out where this thing's coming from, scanning from edge to edge, and look into a clearing that goes down to a hill and a watering hole or pond or something. We're sure we're gonna see animals there. I scan left to right, then back and halfway on the right, really trying to focus on what was going on. That's when it came into focus, when I saw teeth. Teeth in the mouth of what looked like a wolf panting, except it's very tall. I mean, it's probably like to my stomach or chest height, and I'm 6'4". As I was taking in these details in a short amount of time, I realized the thing is staring at us, maybe even more at my cousin, who's smaller than me. And I also realized that this wolf was not on all fours, but crouching on its back legs against a tree, with its arms wrapped around the tree. That's right next to its arm. And this thing's almost holding its arms out to us with its long claws. In the short time that I looked at it, I said to my cousin that we have to go. Now, my cousin took off like a bat out of hell. Being a baseball player, he was a bit quicker than me. He ran, and I looked back at the creature, and it locked on with laser focus, took my cousin and stood all the way up and began running towards us, which makes me run. What I remembered from it is that it was significantly taller than me, completely upright, and when I ran, I could hear it crashing through the woods behind me. After running and running, we eventually reached the wire, and this thing is standing there, waiting for me. I tell my cousin, go, go, go. We ran into the parking area by the shed and stopped talking because it sounded like it stopped chasing us now. At this point, we agree we can't tell our grandparents because what we saw essentially appears to be a werewolf and probably is more likely a bear, but I don't know. Unfortunately, my cousin never actually got a look at it other than just a flash of reddish fur, maybe more of a brown color. But then again, he's lucky because every time I think about it, I get scared. I'm leading up to this, and even afterwards, I've always had a bad feeling about that night. Now, whenever I'm by the campfire, I always feel like I'm being watched. One of the things for you guys to memorize is that if you're out in the woods, if the woods go quiet eerily, most likely there's a large predator in the area. If you have a gut feeling, you should just follow it. Gut instincts are the reasons that our ancestors stayed alive. If I'd frozen fear, we would have died. I have one last thing to add, which is from a few years ago, when I was hiking with my wife in a local park. We got followed by an unknown animal. As we're moving up through the trails through the woods, there is something tracking us, moving as we're moving, stopping while we stop. What made this weird is that it wasn't like a normal animal, but it sounded like we were really being followed tree to tree, and it sounded big. The reason why I said this is the thing chased me and my cousin, and people say that it's a dogman. They say that they're intelligent and apparently good at tree climbing. I also say that these creatures are apparently really good at following people, and seemingly managing to stay out of sight for a long while. I set out fairly early on a road trip where I was going to visit some distant family. They were quite a long way, so this meant it was going to be a number of days that I'd be on the road alone. No problem though, I kind of found a certain amount of tranquility doing these trips alone. I don't know why, it kind of brought the best out of me and it was something I enjoyed doing. Now on one particular morning during this trip, it was very foggy out and I ended up on some dirt road. I wasn't exactly sure where I was going and there was something wrong with my navigation on my phone, so I kind of had to just trust the process with this one. Now there was snowfall somewhat recently and it started covering an embankment on the side of the road and the fog set in pretty heavily. It meant that I absolutely had to stop at times because I could have easily just went off the other edge and down into a big pit, and without cell service I wouldn't have really been able to get rescued. I actually don't know what I would have done, but hey, I continue on. Now something I found really weird is that the trees kind of cast little shadows amongst themselves. It's hard to describe, but basically I couldn't figure out exactly where the sunlight was, so it made driving quite difficult. So I basically continue at a slow pace and ended up turning on the radio. I was trying to distract myself from whatever was happening and just not panic about the fog. This went on for quite a while until eventually I make it out into a clearing and it's not really too foggy now and it made for nicer driving. If any of you have ever driven in the fog like that, it becomes kind of a balancer game where you have to make the decision between driving quick and driving cautious, and it's quite frustrating because sometimes you'll basically be going at a snail's pace and you know you're not really getting anywhere, but you can't speed up because of the safety of yourself and others. Back on the main road, I felt fairly confident now. There was a good few other cars around and they made me feel pretty good in myself. So I'd been driving for a number of hours and decided that it was about time I went and stopped at a rest station, and one happened to come up. Now this thing looked like nobody had been there for years, but I saw some lights in the main building there and I needed to go and get some food from the store. I ended up going in and the guy in there said I was the first person he'd seen all day, and I jokingly said, yeah, I can kind of tell. Where are we? And he kind of explained where we were, but I couldn't remember it too well, so sorry I can't provide you with this detail currently listening to this. But anyway, we chatted for a while and I bought some candy. Now I don't think that I have diabetes, but I kind of feel a bit weak suddenly sometimes, and I think the sugar rush definitely helps keep me on track. I also got some coffee and my god, I can tell you, this is the worst coffee that I've ever tasted in my life. I kind of forced it down because I thought, well, at least it's going to keep me awake. But I soon learned that wasn't a good idea as I started to feel a bit nauseous. I make my way back over to my car and I remember distinctly feeling like something was different now. I couldn't describe exactly what it was, but it was a really weird feeling. I get back in my car and I continue on my adventure. Now while I'm driving, I notice that some of the back windows start to become fairly messed up, which I think is really odd, because I had kind of a face covering on to keep me warm, so there shouldn't be any of my moisture from my mouth going to the back windows. I kind of learned to ignore it and decide that I need to just stop for a while and just enjoy myself. I make it to an area that has a small park. I lock my car and head off in there, still eating some of the candy that I have left. Now at this point I'm not really feeling too good. I have some kind of toothache in the back of my mouth, and my belly feels quite weird. I don't really feel like I'm going to vomit, but I just feel very mildly uncomfortable, but it's something that I can't not notice and I keep feeling weak. I think maybe I've developed some kind of issue and I'm starting to worry a little bit, but I don't want to call off the trip, so I think that maybe just getting some fresh air is going to be enough for me. So I start walking. As I'm walking, I realize that I'm really starting to feel better now, and I kind of convince myself that I'm fine to continue with my trip. It started raining a bit, but luckily I have an umbrella. It was more annoying because I wanted to sit on one of the benches, but it's not really an option now. and there's lots of street lamps ahead of me to guide my way, which kind of look pretty in the rain for. There's a couple of animals and birds around too, which kind of added to the serenity of it, and I felt really nice here. I didn't want to go too far because I didn't know where I was, and I only see one other person. He's approaching from the other side wearing a long raincoat, and he says, "Hey." I say, "Hey," and he kind of looks at me funny, like I've just swore at him. I kind of laugh to myself and think, oh, they're not too friendly with strangers around here. I decide to loop back round and get to the area where my car is parked, and I just hop in again. I immediately realise that I have to mist all of the windows, and it's quite annoying because this has become more of a habit of the last couple of hours of driving that I didn't have before. I think maybe the demist has stopped working and it's quite frustrating. Also, something annoying is that some of my things has moved. They've clearly fell down, but it's quite frustrating because I can't be bothered to reorganise it all. I don't really think too much of it, and I continue on my way. Now when I set off, I'm careful again because there's a bit of snow around, and kind of like, I don't know what you call it, but maybe like dry ice or whatever on the road, so it makes it quite difficult to drive on. There's also that lovely accompanying mist I'd seen earlier, and I decide that I should just press on, but just drive cautiously. Now I'm probably about halfway to my family's house now, so I'm starting to feel pretty good. I turn on the radio and I'm having a grand old time. Now while I'm driving and listening to the radio, every so often I hear a random word in the radio. It's like it's picking up another station and I keep hearing some weird gibberish. It's actually really frustrating and I'm trying my best to stop it and get a good signal, but I can't seem to. The annoying thing is too, it seems like no matter what song I listen to, this continues. I ended up just turning this off again, but after about 20 minutes I miss the company and I turn it back on. I'm feeling very tired now even though it's midday, so I think maybe I'm not very well and I should just pull over to the side of the road where I can stop for a bit and have a sleep. I put on the radio once again, deciding to ignore the gibberish, and it puts my mind at rest. I fell asleep for probably a good hour or two and I kind of felt like I'd knocked out. When I woke up again, I felt absolutely terrible, and I'm not really sure why. I thought maybe some of the food I'd eaten or water I drank was a bit dodgy, because it seemed like I'd never felt this way before, and it was like it took me a good hour or two to come round again. What was odd too is my radio was off this time, but I was convinced as I left it on. I started to think that maybe I had some kind of bad flu or something, and I really need to get over to the family just in case I'm not well so they can maybe look after me. And once again I set off. Now at this point, I was driving in the rain and the mist once again. The mist was becoming a common theme and actually was kind of a normal now. Again, it made driving very dangerous and I couldn't really see much further ahead of me than maybe just around one corner or two if they were approaching quite soon. While I was driving, I once again get the feeling that something's wrong and that I need to pull over, and that's exactly what I do. I find another rest stop that isn't actually too bad this time and seems much more modern. I go in there and I go and get some painkillers and some other medical stuff. I get some healthy food this time and I start talking to the person on the cashier. They say, "Yeah, how are you doing?" and all of that. I explain not too bad and that I'm starting to feel unwell, when suddenly, they look at me square in the eyes and pull out a gun from behind the register. I immediately put my hands up and freeze, and they scream, "Don't move." And of course I don't. I've never been in a hold up situation before, but my god, it's a horrible feeling and situation to be in. I then see that the cashier's attention goes beyond me just to my left. I once again don't move and he opens the door. Confused, I lower my hands a bit and slowly follow outside, thinking maybe he wants to take me as a hostage. That's when I can see somebody dressed in all black slowly disappearing off into the tree line. The cashier is literally screaming at the guy over the rain, but this person just sprints off, laughing into the woods. He then turns around and says to me, "Are you okay? Are you okay? I just saw that guy come out of the boot of your car." I scream, "What?" I say, "How? It's not possible. I was on my own in there." He says, "I literally saw him climbing out and going towards the back of the car with something in his hands." It then suddenly hits me. Somebody must have been in the boot of my car for God knows how long, for whatever reason that I really don't want to know. And must have been waiting there for a while to do who knows what to me. What really spooked me out is the fact that I realize now that that must have been the reason that my windows were messing up so much. And I'm very convinced that they'd drugged me or something, and that was why I was feeling so bad. I very quickly made a police report, and the owner was very nice and waited with me for a while, but I said I had to get going now. We checked around my car again with a gun and was certain he was gone. And the cashier said, "God, I'd love to put one in if he comes back again." And I agreed and drove off, thanking him profusely. I actually offered him money for helping, but he completely refused and said he'd help with the police statement too. Now, when I set out on the road, I felt so different. I felt absolutely violated in a way that I've never felt before. After driving through more rain and mist, I eventually made it to the family's house I was staying with. I apologized to them for being a little late, but for some reason, I just couldn't bring myself to explain what happened to them. I did make contact with the police to fill out a report, but of course they couldn't find anything. I still don't know what that person was doing to this day, or what would have happened if the cashier hadn't have intervened or seen the guy, but I really don't like thinking about it. Honestly, it still gives me nightmares to this day. So this encounter happened many years ago when I was very young. It was in 2001 or 2, and I was 11 to 12 at the time. My uncle was interested in purchasing some land near Red Oak, Oklahoma. I do not know exactly where, but it was several acres in a very remote area. My father, mother, and myself dedicated and decided to accompany her one Saturday afternoon to scope out the property. From our home, it was a little more than a 3-hour drive, but we all loved riding in the car, so it was not going to be the most eventful road trip, and we just went to get out of the house. Upon arrival, I remembered being very underwhelmed by the place. No houses nearby, and hardly any other signs of life apart from a few birds and the wooded area that wasn't exactly what I would say was picturesque. Still, we parked our car off the road and go exploring the woods a little. My uncle was talking about buying land for hunting. It's not really my cup of tea. As we walk through the woods, it was a very nice day, but something felt off. Everyone in the group remarked about the eerie feeling, but my dad and uncle seemed to laugh it off. My mum had goosebumps and kept looking over her shoulder, which made me on edge too. She's very insistent that it was weird and she wanted to leave, saying it felt as though she's being watched. After a bit of hiking, I started noticing that there was a small red building. I've seen bigger storage sheds in the shrubs, but it looks well built. My uncle said there was nothing about it on the listing, and that was rather odd. So we went inside and realized the doors open, and inside were opened cans of food, a ratty blanket on the floor, and it stunk like nothing I'd ever smelt before. Following this discovery, we all agreed it would be best to get back to the car if there were some crazy hermits living in the woods, and we didn't want to be around to find them. Only issue, we had walked pretty far into the woods and now weren't exactly sure which direction is correct. The eerie feeling really amped up when we were all on edge. We ended up trekking another mile before we finally found the road. But we were further down now from where we parked the car, but could at least follow the road. We walked along the road and we come across an unsettling sight. Right in the middle of the asphalt was a dark grey cat on fire. I had no idea why the cat was on the middle of the road or how this happened, but there was no one else in sight. Naturally, we run the rest of the way to the car, and there was a huge scratch in all the paint down the side from the hood to the trunk. Thankfully, this is the only damage, and my dad was able to start it without any trouble and drove away fine, as fast as we possibly can. My heart just sped up recounting this. Needless to say, my uncle did not buy the land, as you can imagine, and I'm really always going to remember this terrifying encounter, but like any other time, I sort of pushed it to the back of my mind, and it just become one of those odd. It's just one of those moments that you occasionally retell at the family get-togethers. Now, back in 2016, I made a road trip from Phoenix, Arizona to Estes Park, CO to camp with friends. I was driving solo and saw pictures of a place that was called Coal Mine Canyon that was on a Navajo reservation. It looked like a neat and secluded place, so I put it into my Apple Map and headed there. I got off of the highway while in Tuba City and drove about 15 miles to where I turn off the canyon. I thought it was weird that there weren't any signs, and Apple Maps directed me to turn off the road onto a one-lane dirt road. A mile or so when I got into the trip, I ended up at a point where the road descends to about a 10 or 15 degree radian down maybe 150 feet into a canyon. It wasn't until I got to the bottom that I realized how steep that was, and also it was very muddy at the bottom, but I continued on. Every minute further I went, I started to realize that I was in the wrong place. But the road was narrow and had thick desert bushes on either side of it, so it's not really possible to turn around. To make matters worse, I didn't have service and nobody knew I was there. Finally, I got to the end of the road, which was a point that stood another 200 feet above a valley that had a very creepy shack built in there. There was something about that shack that didn't sit right with me. While it was a nice spot, it was very desolate and gave me bad vibes. The scenery was pretty good, so I get out to take a picture, and on my way back to my car, I noticed there was a person looking at me through the window slash opening in the shack. It was far enough away that I didn't see any features or expressions, but they're just staring at me. I booked it to my car, turned around, and headed back. As I was approaching the 10 to 15 degree grade, I noticed a big truck just sitting at the top there, and my heart sank. It wasn't there before when I was on my way down. When I got close to the hill, the truck started to drive down it, which meant that I had no other way to get out, as I don't have enough room to get around it and I can't go into the bushes. So now the truck and I slowly made our way closer to each other as I scanned for places to get off the road and out of their way. No luck. We stopped about 30 feet away from each other and I noticed there was three men in trucks in front of me staring. I gave a little wave and they didn't do anything back. At this point, I had no idea what to do and thought I was gonna die. I was trespassing on their property and the person in the shack must have notified them. I don't know if it was 30 minutes or seconds, but to my surprise, the truck pulled off the path suddenly and into the bushes. I slowly moved past while doing so, looking at them. I can see six eyes expressionless staring at me. I got to the muddy area at the base of the hill. Wasn't sure I'd be able to get enough speed and traction through the mud to make it up the hill. I straightened my tires, put the pedal quickly down, and shot up the hill. When I got off the dirt road, I gunned it into Tuba City and out of there as fast as I could. Sometimes when I look back, I get a weird feeling in my stomach thinking about what could have happened to me. I was camping at Joshua Tree in the Black Rock Campgrounds on the night of the 23rd of July 2018. I'm not from the USA and had flown in to do a Western USA road trip in a motorhome, some of it alone, some with a friend in Joshua Tree. But here I was alone. Anyway, to get to the Joshua Tree campground in late afternoon, There's a very intense heat wave at this time, so it was almost empty. Now, maybe around one or two other groups camped in there, but there was no rangers because it's off season. Now, this campground isn't very far from civilization, maybe a 10-minute drive, but it felt like the middle of nowhere to me, especially being so empty. Naively, I chose the most isolated lot at the back of the grounds because it's close to natural desert plants and jackrabbits and things like that. But it backed right onto where the wilderness began. Before sunset, it felt so nice and peaceful, and I wandered around taking pictures on a hill by my van. After dark, being a very lone young woman, and being my first time camping alone, I found it hard to sleep. I held my pocket knife and pepper spray in my hand and drifted in and out of sleep, but I kept having these very realistic nightmares of somebody knocking on and attacking my van. Eventually, I gave up on the idea of sleep for a while and stared out the camper van window, messaging my family back home and looking out for the sky. All of a sudden, about 6 bright golden lights appear in the sky. They look kind of like fireworks, and they burst out, but instead they just kind of surrender there, suspended in the air, like in a half moon formation, very high up. And then the lights went out, and another appeared far off in the distance, hanging out for a couple of seconds before disappearing too. Now, I'm not a strong believer in otherworldly occurrences, but I don't not believe in them either. I googled to see if there was any astrological event that may have explained it, but couldn't find anything. Also, these lights weren't moving in any direction like a meteor or shooting star. They were just hanging, suspended. I'd love to know if anybody had an explanation for them. It was early spring 2016. I just turned 24 years old. My friend and I reached our main spot to camp, the Black Canyon Ring campgrounds just outside of Payson, AZ. We'd usually travel out here 2 or 3 times each year. There were some incredible views, and it's only a couple of hours away from the city. For the most part, this is pretty secluded. It's a privately owned convenience store that's around to a few miles away, with a small town 20 miles before that. The entrance is on a dirt road directly off of the highway, with a campground sign at the start of the road, marking local wildlife, any fire hazards, and general news related to camping folk. The paving is mostly linear, with maybe one fork spanning several miles. We once travelled down the dirt road to see how far it would take us. One of the paths would take you to another highway entrance with a ranger's tower halfway there. The other led to a dead-ended area. There's an abandoned cabin which can be found on this path a few miles in, mostly hidden off in the distance behind some larger foliage. The snow had mostly cleared off at this point, leaving a crisp air, a slight chill, and fauna becoming active again. We'd usually spot some wild horses, several deer, and tons of little critters whenever we come out this way. It was really the perfect time of year to be out here if you really wanted a relaxing trip away from the city for a couple of days. So we get in at around 4 p.m. on a Tuesday roughly. It was late for us. We'd usually try and make it out there by noon at least. The trip was pretty spontaneous. We both had work during the coming weekend and decided to just go for it. The sun was closing in on us pretty fast and we hadn't picked somewhere to camp. There was maybe 2 other groups, both families parked somewhere close to the entrance, only a few hundred yards away from the highway. This time around, we just wanted to get away from humans for a while. Customer service jobs will do that. So we drive down the dirt road past our usual spot and pick the perfect area, which is a small clearing just off the edge of the hill. The whole valley could be seen from this area with a really, really beautiful sunset. This would have been our main spot from then on if the next night's incident hadn't happened. That is, we agreed to get a campfire going and decide that we're going to avoid building a tent this trip. We didn't have much time to do so anyway, and her car wasn't that uncomfortable. I'd sleep in the back seat and she'd sleep in the passenger seat, with the windows slightly ajar. We'd each have a blanket with us and we'd fall into a slumber. The next day went fairly uneventful and we just decompressed. I had this strange feeling throughout the day though, like I was being watched. There was the crunching of leaves just out of sight every few hours, but I figured that it was just the local wildlife doing their thing. My friend didn't notice anything weird too, so we don't really dwell on it. Night came, and the feeling still hasn't gone far. My friend felt something but doesn't vocalize it, and she took some sleeping pills. She didn't usually take them on trips, but thought she needed it this night. It's now nearing 1 a.m, and my friend dozed off in the passenger seat while I was attempting to wind down in the back. I lean against the window behind the passenger seat, legs outstretched. Now, the window opposite of me was rolled down slightly, letting in a breeze. I've been on my phone scrolling through Facebook or whatever, and I hear something outside, a few crunches on the leaves, several paces outside of the car. I whisper to my friend, "Did you hear that?" But she's already out of it. I put my phone down and listen for a few minutes. It's probably just an animal, I think. I went back to my phone, scrolling through social media, and about 10 minutes have passed when I hear it again, crunch, right outside the door. I lowered the phone. My eyes took a moment to adjust from the light of the phone and I looked deep into the dark of the woods. As I turn the phone away from me with the backlight illuminating the window, I see two dirty, scrabbled hands against the window, the fingers wrapped inside, with the nails being disgusting, behind the window, and then there's a silhouette of a face pressed up against it. The breath would create condensation a couple of seconds at a time. All I can make out is a reflection of those empty black eyes. I couldn't move. I can't scream. I felt like eternity. The staring contest between me and this thing was really impressive. And I think, why haven't I run away? Why haven't they run away? Is this a face of death? Is this it? After probably 10 seconds of not doing anything, the hands slowly unclench from the windows and recede into darkness. The condensation on the window dispersed. Another couple of seconds pass before I hear crunch, 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 kind of fading off into the distance. I'm still sat there thinking, what happened? Why am I not doing anything? An adrenaline shot into my body. I pounded my friend's seat, waking her up from her slumber into dizzy confusion in a haze. I unlatched the window and kicked the door open. And I took a moment to scan the area. Whoever they were, whatever it was is gone. I scrambled to pick up any important camping supplies we left outside, and just crammed everything into the back seat and the trunk, periodically looking over my shoulder, listening for those footsteps. I quickly slammed the door shut, and there's a grim reminder of the horror that's just happened. There's two handprints imprinted on the window. I quickly wiped them off in a panic, trying to ease the situation, I guess. I jump into the front seat and started the car and floored it. My friend finally comes to and says, "What the hell are you doing?" I say, "We have to go. There's somebody out there." I didn't see whatever or whoever it was while fleeing the scene, but I sped down a dirt road, and I know my friend insisted I slowed down. We eventually reached the highway, and I proceed to drive 20 or so miles before reaching a Denny's, when my friend asked me to stop and explain what happened and eat. The nightmare was subsided a few months later. My embarrassment continues to the day in the shock and horror of it all. So this happened to my girlfriend last night. We'd been camping for 4 days, and were planning on leaving on the 5th, but my girlfriend had to leave the night before because of work. I told her to drive safe because I was pretty worried about her hitting a deer. She drives a little Volkswagen Bug, so I knew if it hit, it wouldn't go very well. Anyway, around 45 minutes later, she shot me a call and told me something about what's happened while she was driving. She was driving down a stretch of road with no side roads going off, just forest. She said she saw headlights pop up behind her vehicle, which was odd enough since there were no roads to turn off of. Even more odd, the headlights drove up to 60 miles per hour and caught up with her within about 4 seconds. She said that she was listening to a song that had a countdown, so that's how she could tell. Now, she was a little sketched out, so she sped off a bit, but it kept following her. The headlights pulled up next to her, but she didn't see a car, but a silhouette of somebody running. She slammed on her brakes and went to turn around, and then realizes that there's 20 headlights following her before veering off into the forest. She sped back up again to the part of the woods trying to escape it and doesn't see anything. Now this really freaked her out to the point that she wanted to stop talking about it. She said her dad had a similar experience and said it could be a skinwalker. I've never really believed in that kind of thing, but I don't know what it could have been. It was almost like whatever this was pretending to be a car. So I was in the VA/MD area and had a lot of work related to sites ranging from downtown Baltimore to Virginia Beach and all around. Friday's wrapped up and I hit the road to some social arrangements I made for the weekend. I spent the weekend with friends out in various parts of VA, got dragged off to other places and even went further out, you know, just the usual weekend fun times. It was late Sunday night when I had to leave, or I'm not going to be able to get back home in time for my start, which was thankfully late afternoon on Monday. I'm fully rested and I don't do any drinking, I'm not into drugs. Now on the highway at about 3 a.m, in the middle of God knows where between Roanoke and DC, there's absolutely nobody around. I'm cruising along in the left lane, simply because nobody else is around. No headlights on for the fast hour or so, no taillights either, no road lamps, it's dark. Really dark and foggy, but I have my music up and I feel fine. And then, I just happen to look to the left and there is a dog barking at me, a German Shepherd in a car passenger seat, somewhat blue glow from the instruments of the car. And it's got its face to the window and it's barking its head off at me. I get a good hard look at it too, because at first my brain is registering that maybe it's a cop car. I was going a little bit quick at the time, and the dog and the instruments just suddenly come in and I have to check again. I then put my foot on the brake and start slowing down, but it's hard to pull over. I even put on my blinker and start shifting lanes and pull over to the right because, wait, there's no left shoulder on this road. I look back to my left, where there is still no shoulder slash room for another car, and it's just gone. No trace of it. I slammed on my brakes and stop in the middle of nowhere, flipped on my light bars, and even look around with my handheld spotlight and there's nothing. No tail lights, no headlights, no engine sound, nothing. There's no tire marks even. Now my vehicle had great visibility and lots of extra lightings, off-road SUV with the trimmings I mean, and there is no possible way somebody pulled a sneaky on me, so I really don't know what happened. It's been a while since we did a road trip across the western US, April/May this year. On our journey, we come across the Hashda Trinity National Forest as we're heading back to the west coast, literally in the middle of nowhere. I asked my boyfriend to stop along the highway as I needed to go for a pee in the woods. I jumped out of the car and searched for a place where I could do that. Meanwhile, my boyfriend was waiting inside, leaving the car windows open, as I'm concentrated on not peeing on my shoes. I don't really realize what's happening around me, and went back about 3 minutes later. As I approached the car, I noticed my boyfriend kind of alert. I sat down on the passenger seat as he locks the doors, turned to me, said in a really serious way, "Did you notice it?" I said, "What?" "Didn't you notice there's not a single sound in the forest? No bird sounds, no clickings, no leaves falling or anything." like the whole world just stopped. We close the windows and continue the journey without incident. Although it's been a while since we were there, and we're back home in Europe now, this experience kind of stuck in my mind, because it's not what we're used to in North America or in the wilderness there. I don't know, there was something specially eerie about the fact that everything was being absorbed sound-wise, and I've never really experienced anything like it before, and I've often heard it's a sign that something bad's about to happen. Now my dad is a trucker, and in the summers I tag along with him. One evening we're driving from Houston to Jacksonville, and somehow we got turned around on the back roads of Louisiana. The last major place I remembered us being in was Troy. It's about 1 a.m. Well, it was almost 3 and we have no idea where we are. We eventually come up to this little town. It had one broken spotlight, a diner, an abandoned factory and some empty shopping centres. In total, it was maybe 4 blocks from one another. We were both hungry, and because we didn't want to wait to go to a truck stop, we pulled in behind the diner. Now that I think about it, the fact that a small town diner was open at 3 a.m. should have been a sign, really, that something was amiss. We get in, and this diner is pretty nice. Actually, it's a bit old school, reminiscent of the 60s. There's a single waitress on duty and a copy in a booth. We naturally all got chatting. I remembered the meal so clearly because it was the first time I had grits. They were loaded with cheese and bacon. The cop gave us directions back to the highway and bought me a chocolate milk for the road. I even remember the tables. They were covered in wood and polka dot patterns. Well, eventually I made it back to civilization, and later that morning at a stop, my dad said to me about the town. He knew a lot of confused local truckers. He was sure he was getting the name right, but nobody heard of it. A few months later, as he was driving me back to Texas, he drove through Louisiana attempting to locate the town, but we could never find it. We're still not sure what happened, if we drove through a ghost town that nobody remembered or something weirder. But I really don't know what to think of this. Now, I'm not really a long haul trucker by trade, but back in the day, I had several odd jobs that required I drive across the country. One was shipping horses, I drove the truck from barns to shows or vice versa, and the other way was working as a road crew for a rock band. I was very, very young, 16 to 20 years old. For reference, I'm a female, short, athletic. Deaf the odd one out at a lot of rest stops and gas stations along the major routes. I'm also slash was tatted and had a red mohawk which made me stand out more. Several things happened to me that I remember, but I want to say, Navajo Nation is really, really creepy and always drove through at night. Never meant to plan it that way, but that's always what happened. Other creepy place is northern Utah. Totally hills have eyes up there. But history one. I was driving from Gravestone, Texas to New Orleans, LA. Gravestone had just been hit by the hurricane, and there was a weird serial killer moving through that city, so the vibe had already begun as weird. Just as I crossed the border from Texas to LA, I start to get super tired. Was really late, 3 a.m.-ish. Tried to find a gas station to pull over, rest up and fill up, but all of them were shut. Gave up. Pulled into the next one, which was closed. Parked in the far corner of the lot. Killed my car. And laid my seat back to sleep. Everything seems quiet. There were a few lights on from the station that are on 24/7, but I parked far enough away that they couldn't have really bothered me. I woke up with a start. Had been dreaming, but I had this like gut instinct to wake up. I immediately saw somebody covered in mud wearing rags holding a knife advancing slowly towards my car. He was maybe 5 feet away moving forward. My adrenaline kicked in immediately and I switched the car on. At that point, he lets out some guttural growl and launches towards the car as I'm backing up. I barely miss him and he's grabbing at the vehicle. With the headlights on, I could see he's covered in sores and the knife was all rusty. I sped out of there, didn't sleep again all the way up to NOLA. Freaked me out so badly. I also never slept in my car. The idea that he could have been waiting for me to sleep for how long I don't know really scares me, and my car's also convertible so he could have easily cut through. Imagine waking up to somebody crazy advancing with a knife, I mean, it's given me nightmares for years. Now, second story. I was hauling horses from Kansas to Tucson, Arizona, driving a big Ford truck, a dolly, with a small trailer carrying three horses near Gallup. Around 2 a.m, the back inner tire on the passenger side blew up. I pulled off to the road and assessed the situation. There was zero chance I could change the tire myself given the trailer slash dolly truck situation, and I'm tired and weak from exhaustion, so I called a tow company and tried to find a temporary boarding place for the horses. It's the morning of Easter Sunday, so literally no one's open. I'm going through the yellow pages, calling tow company after tow company. Finally, I find a Native American tow company who has also got a ranch with boarding for horses and a truck to come and grab the trailer. It was a godsend. But the guy and his wife who ran the company told me be very careful not to leave my truck during the 2-hour drive and that they would take it. They said this in such an emphatic way that I got really scared. They told me not to open the door for anyone and keep the doors locked. No one was really on the road, so I was confused as to who could be out there as a threat, but I took it seriously and did so. I kept hearing this weird scratching sound on the back panel of the truck, like somebody was trying to open the small window back there. A couple of times the truck would sway, which I figure is the horses. It was pitch black out with no wind. I heard a couple of footsteps, but I chalk it up to my imagination or the wind. It was getting scary now, and I couldn't move. Eventually the nice couple with the tow truck, another truck, come to haul up the ponies. Immediately, they move me from my cabin to the cabin of their tow truck. Tell me not to move or open up the door in any circumstances. The couple is super fast. Lady deals with the horses and the man gets my truck off on the tow bed. They then drive me to the ranch. After the man drops my truck off at a local shop owned by his cousin, who says he will handle the flat on Monday. Anyway, long story short, this wonderful couple takes care of me and the horses and gets my truck fixed. As I'm ready to leave on Monday afternoon, there's a story on the local news station of a woman with a flat tire who was murdered alongside the same stretch of highway on Sunday evening. She'd been out changing a tire, and looks like somebody murdered her. I asked a couple about this and they don't say much other than times the time it happens and said it's certain death there. They also gave me some bags of stuff to have slash burn in the back of my cabin for protection. I felt very lucky to find these people, to be honest. They definitely looked out for me and I didn't feel unsafe staying at their home. Now, I don't live in America, I live in Scandinavia, and this story happened a couple of years ago and it's something I'd like to share with everyone today. Now, I was driving to a relatively remote area where I had some family. I was quite excited to see them because I haven't seen them for a number of years. Now, this was in the winter time, so there was snow absolutely everywhere, and it made driving quite difficult, to be honest. Don't worry, from where I'm from this is normal, so I kind of got used to it, and I set off. Now I'd only have to drive for just under a day, which isn't too bad really, but I set out very early in the morning, aiming to arrive near the night time. Which in hindsight probably wasn't the best idea, because if anything went wrong with my car, I'd be in a big problem, but it didn't happen entirely. So luckily for me, things went relatively okay. Now, the first part of the drive-in is completely normal and I feel really good and everything's how it should be. I eventually make it to roughly the midway point and I'm driving through the forest now. There's not really much of a path, so I have to be quite careful. There's still some light snowfall and it's very cold outside, but I have some music playing and I'm feeling pretty good at the time. As I'm driving, there's occasional rock fall from the side of the road that I have to be very careful with because these things are really killers if you're not careful. Now, one thing that I noticed was strange is every time I seemed to look off to the side of the road, Myers had a really hard time adjusting to what I was seeing. It was almost like my vision would shift for a little bit then go back to normal, but I wasn't too bothered by that. I was just more worried about the big rocks and things. Now as I'm driving, I realise that the rocks are becoming more and more frequent, almost like they're placed in the middle of the road. I remember there was one particularly bad one that I actually had to get out and find a big stick to kind of lever it out of the way. It's one I couldn't have moved without the stick and I was really glad that it actually held up to the task. Upon getting outside, I realised there was a really strange stench that I hadn't smelt before. And it seemed to follow me everywhere I went. Even when I jumped back in my car, it was like I couldn't get the smell off of me. I would roll the windows down every so often to try and get rid of it, but to be honest, it didn't really make much of a difference. I remembered coming up to a junction, and my car kind of slid for a couple of seconds. Luckily, my car was a bit of a beast and handled it quite well. But it was really worrying, to be honest. I had to drive much slower this time. Now staring down the road, I couldn't really see too far ahead of me because of the bends in the woods, but I knew I was going the right way. A quick glance on my phone would confirm that. Now while my tires were struggling in the snow, I heard a strange low rumble sound outside. Thinking something was wrong with my car, I quickly pull over to the side of the road to have a listen. I lean over the hood of my car when something large falls near me. I look and another rock has slid off the side again, somewhat obstructing me. I think this is really weird. I go to move it and I hear the same sound again. It's quite a powerful sound and it's like nothing I've ever really heard before. Thinking maybe it's a large rock about to fall, I quickly get back in my car and make my way on once again. Now I kind of got used to the smell now because I didn't really notice it, or maybe there wasn't much of it around, so I'm pretty content as I continue driving. Now the trees around me are quite tall and almost needle-like. If you look in any particular direction, you can only see far enough before one of the trees blocks your vision. So you kind of feel like you're in an infinity pool of trees. It can be good or bad, but for me it was kind of neither. Now while driving, I seem to get a strange feeling that something's off. Now I end up coming to a particular area where something just feels like I'm not alone and I can't describe it. I decide once again to get out of my car. I can just about make out a jogger off to the side of the road wearing some white snowsuit. And I think this is bizarre because how on earth they could have got here, I don't know. But thinking maybe they're in trouble, I quickly hop in the car again and slowly make my way up around a hill to where they should be parked. But strangely, I can't see any tracks at all. I decide the best thing to do is just keep going and try and find somebody.